Welcome to another deep dive. Today, we're going to hop in a time machine, but not in the way you might think.
Oh.
Yeah. We're jumping ahead to 2027, but we're checking out a prediction made back in 2002 about, well, what being a lawyer would be like today.
Interesting.
Yeah. So our guide for this trip is this lawyer, Paul R. Kiesel. He wrote this article where he basically tries to picture what his workday would look like in 2027.
Okay, so what'd he get right? What'd he totally miss?
Exactly. So, Kiesel, he starts off by describing his home office. And get this, it's basically taken over his whole library.
Hmm.
Yeah, he even mentions that, like, law firms, they still have these big office buildings, but the line between work life, home life is way more blurry.
Right, like you're always at work, even when you're home.
Yeah. He's practically living at the office, even though it's, you know, in his house.
It's funny because he was already picking up on that trend way back in 2002.
Really?
Yeah. He even mentions this book, The Overworked American. It was from the late 80s. And it talked about how, you know, Americans were putting in more and more hours. Makes you think, has all this technology actually given us more free time or
just made us work more?
Exactly.
And Kiesel, he does not skimp on the details. Yeah. Like, he talks about having special lighting in his home office. Optimized for, well, us aging baby boomers.
Okay.
And, get this, he describes this futuristic workstation called a Schroeder.
A Schroeder?
A Schroeder. It's like this chair-computer hybrid thing, but there's no keyboard, no mouse. It's all voice-activated.
Wow.
Yeah. He says voice recognition is so good in 2027 that it even, like, gets your commas and semicolons right.
I don't know. Voice recognition back then, it's come a long way, but it's interesting to see if it lives up to that. What about you? Any experiences with voice recognition, good or bad?
Oh, are you kidding?
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, according to Kiesel, all those little issues, they're gone by 2027. He even has this virtual assistant named James with this, like, proper English butler voice.
Naturally.
Of course. Every morning, James is there to greet him.
Yeah.
And forget about those clunky old monitors. Kiesel says we've moved on to 3D holographic images, like beamed straight into your eyeballs.
Oh, seen those in movies.
Yeah, but he's talking ultra-realistic, widescreen visuals. Like, you could reach out and touch them.
We see little hints of that now with VR and AR, but nothing quite that advanced. Makes you wonder about the technology.
Mm-hmm.
Would everyone even be able to, you know, access it?
That's a good point. And here's another prediction that's going to sound oddly familiar. Kiesel talks about video emails being all the rage. Like, everyone's sending them.
Video emails?
Yeah. He even mentions using customizable background so people don't know he's sending them from home. And this is years before, like, Zoom calls and all that.
Wow. It's like he predicted the future of, well, video calls. Mm-hmm. Now that we're here, what do you think? As popular as he thought.
Yeah. Good question.
And what about the pros and cons? We see them everywhere now, but are they actually, you know, good for us?
It's a really good question. Kiesel, he was spot on about some things, maybe a little ahead of his time on others. But what I find really interesting is how he uses all this tech to ask a much bigger question.
Okay, I'm intrigued. What's the question?
He asks, you know, will we use all this tech to actually free up our time? You know, for ourselves, our families, the things we love. Or will it just make us more productive, more efficient, and honestly, probably more overworked?
Yeah, it's a question we're still wrestling with today, isn't it? Especially now with, you know, remote work and AI. It's like, how do we use all this stuff to actually work less?
You're telling me.
Yeah.
And speaking of, well, global connections, Kiesel, he goes on to describe this video call he has with a colleague in Vienna, this guy Gabriel Lansky.
Okay, so what's happening in Vienna?
Well, Gabriel, he prefers speaking German. But Kiesel's like, no problem. He says language barriers, they're a thing of the past, thanks to this amazing real-time translation software.
Oh, so they're speaking different languages, but the software is just translating everything on the fly.
Yeah, like instantly.
Yeah.
Kiesel can choose to watch Gabriel's message with subtitles or just have it read aloud in English.
Yeah. What's interesting is Kiesel noticed back then some people were worried this tech would lead to, you know, everyone just speaking English, like it'd dominate.
Interesting.
But he saw it differently. He pictured everyone keeping their native languages, but still being able to, like, connect with each other without any, you know, miscommunication.
Right, right. It really makes you think, like, how close are we to that level of, like, flawless translation? I mean, we've made progress, but are we really there yet?
It's a good question. We've definitely come a long way, but some things are still tricky for AI to pick up. Like, imagine trying to translate humor or cultural references or, like, really subtle meanings.
True, yeah. Okay, so after this call, Kiesel, he takes part in a virtual court appearance.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not talking just a quick video chat here. He makes it sound like a whole experience.
Oh, How so?
Like, he describes it as stepping into a digital courtroom. He can see himself, the opposing counsel, even the judge. They're all, like, positioned in their spots, just like in a real courtroom. But it's all happening right there on his screen.
Wow. So he really gets into how technology can, like, shake up these really traditional processes.
Exactly. Like, think about it. Court appearances, more streamlined, more efficient. Could be a game changer for accessibility, too, right?
For sure. I mean, think about all the time and money people spend traveling for court appearances. Mm-hmm. And for people in rural areas or, you know, with disabilities.
Yeah, could be huge. And Kiesel brings up this other point. He says, this virtual courtroom makes everything smoother.
Yeah.
Like, for example, the case management order, which, let me tell you, I'm sure is a nightmare for lawyers to deal with.
I bet. All that back and forth.
It's all instantly accessible. They can make edits in real time. Everyone's always on the same page. No more, you know, did you get that email with the latest version?
Right, right. It really makes you think about how we use technology, you know? Are we really using it to, like, totally change the way we work? Or are we just doing the same old stuff, just in a digital space?
That's such a good question. And this is where things get really interesting. After walking us through this crazy advanced workday, Kiesel ends the article with a question.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a question that's relevant to all of us, even today. So he's walked us through this whole workday, right? Super high tech, everything's virtual, instant communication.
Right, right.
And then he hits us with this question. He asks, will all this amazing technology actually give us more free time?
Mm.
You know, like more time for ourselves, our families, our passions, or will it just make us like even more productive, more efficient.
And more overworked.
Exactly.
It's kind of like he's laying out this future that could go either way, you know, utopia or, well, not dystopia, but definitely not the utopia we might hope for.
Right. It's not all sunshine and roses, he makes you think.
It's a question that goes way beyond just lawyers, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely.
It's about all of us and our relationship with, well, technology in general. We create these tools to supposedly make life easier, give us more free time, but
we end up more plugged in than ever.
Exactly.
It makes you wonder what Kiesel would think about the world today, you know?
Hmm.
We've got remote work exploding, artificial intelligence about to change, well, everything.
Oh, for sure. It's exciting, but yeah, it's a lot.
It really is.
I bet Kiesel would be fascinated to see how some of his predictions actually panned out.
Yeah.
Like, some things took off, others went in a totally different direction. It's like he gave us a peek into one possible future, and now it's our turn to decide what we do with it.
And that's what I think is so powerful about all this. We're not just along for the ride, you know? We have choices to make.
About how we use technology, how we set boundaries, what we decide to prioritize.
Exactly. And those choices, they matter.
Absolutely. Kiesel, he didn't give us all the answers, but he left us with a really important question.
So as we kind of wrap up our deep dive into Kiesel's vision of 2027, here's something I think is worth thinking about. Remember that question he asked about technology? And will it lead to more leisure time or just more productivity? Well, let's take it a step further. Think about yourself. How are you using technology to create that balance? You know, to make time for the things you love, to have a life outside of work? Or is that something you're still, you know, working on?
It's a journey, that's for sure, finding that balance.
It really is. And the thing is, in a world that's changing so fast, sharing our experiences, our struggles even, it can help all of us figure out how to navigate it all.
We're all in this together, right?
Right. Maybe, just maybe, together we can build a future where technology helps us live those richer, more fulfilling lives, both at work and outside of it.
I like the sound of that.
Me too. That's all the time we have for today's deep dive, but we'll be back soon with another thought-provoking topic. Until then, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep diving deep.